It is finally here, sports fans. The NFL draft is upon us, and because it is officially draft week, it is time to unveil my 2024 NFL mock draft with all the trades in the first round that I can envision, and I will give you insight on every pick, including some other potential options. But without further ado, the Chicago Bears are on the clock, and with the first pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Chicago Bears will select Caleb Williams. Yes, I know it may seem anticlimactic at this point, but this has been a pick I think has been pretty obvious. Williams, the highest rated college quarterback over the last 2 years. This pretty much has been set in stone and has been maybe a little bit boring throughout the whole process, but it's an easy fit. It makes sense. I don't see any team coming up to Chicago, and I don't see any surprises with this one. So with pick number two is where the real fun begins. The Washington Commanders are second on the clock. We know they're going to take a quarterback, but which one? And how they pick their quarterback will likely affect the remainder of this draft, because according to reports, New England at three has one quarterback they really like, and the other one, maybe not sure about. Maybe they could trade out. But with the second pick in the draft, I have the Washington Commanders selecting Jaden Daniels, the quarterback out of LSU. I just think there's too much upside athletically with Daniels. Unbelievable season last year, Heisman winner. And when you have a guy like Cliff Kingsbury and you know the type of quarterback, he wants the hyper athletic, the guys that can run, the guys that can throw. Do I worry about the slender frame? I do worry about that. However, this seemingly is a kid with a lot of upside. And when you look at the NFC, if they hit on this kid and he becomes a top five quarterback in the NFC, they could be a perennial contender. And you look at that division right now, you got to compete with the Eagles. You got to compete with the Cowboys. You need a gunslinger. And Jaden Daniels, to me, is probably the guy outside Caleb Williams that has the highest ceiling. I think they take a swing here, and I think they're going to fall in love with Jaden Daniels. It just feels like he has a little bit higher ceiling than Drake May. So then the question is, what do the Patriots do? Now, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Do not be shocked if the Patriots trade out three. I do think if the quarterback that they don't love is there, that they're going to trade out three if they can. The question is there going to be a team that's going to come up? I don't think there's going to be an offer that's going to be great enough. So I have the Patriots with the third overall pick selecting Drake May. Look, I understand that he might not be their favorite, but they need a quarterback. This is a great situation. They already have Jacoby Brissett, where May can sit behind for a year. To me, you're in a division with Josh Allen. You're in a division with Tua. You're in a division for the next year, probably two with Aaron Rodgers. You need a quarterback. And heck, just look at the AFC. You go down the list of how many great quarterbacks in the AFC. If you don't have a good quarterback, forget about it in the AFC. Patriots take a swing here. But on draft night, if you hear that trade alert button with the third pick that they're trading out, do not be surprised. So next up, I have the Cardinals. Now, the Cardinals have been rumored they're trying to move out of the fourth pick. They want to get multiple first rounds. And I do think there will be some teams that call. But however, I just don't think they get the offer they're looking for. They want a boatload of picks. I think they'll get some good offers, don't think it gets quite there. So with the fourth pick, I have them taking Marvin Harrison Jr., arguably the best player in the entire draft, arguably the best player over the last 2 years coming out, an unbelievable receiver. He's going to be a dynamic playmaker. And when you're looking at that team that's trying to make Kyler Murray work, you get him a legitimate number one receiver. And all of a sudden, Arizona, who has a ton of draft capital this year, could be a really interesting team. It could be one of those teams that maybe is this year's Lions, where if everything breaks white and Kyler Murray is healthy, maybe they can compete faster than people think. And they also have a bunch of picks in this draft, so don't be surprised if Arizona shocks some people. But hold on, ladies and gentlemen. We have a trade alert. With the fifth pick, the Chargers are trading back. I have the Chargers trading with the Minnesota Vikings, who did this a couple months ago just for this purpose. The Vikings have picks 11 and 23 in this draft. I have them also dealing a future second-round pick in next year's draft and even potentially up to a third-round pick in this year's draft, just to make sure it is sweet enough. The Chargers get a boatload of picks, especially when you have Jim Harbaugh, who knows the college kids better than anyone over the next 3 years. That's going to be huge. But with that selection and now moving up, the Vikings are fifth on the clock, and I have them taking J.J. McCarthy. Look, J.J. McCarthy isn't my cup of tea. But when you think about it, Minnesota is probably the perfect place for him. When you look at Minnesota, they were paying Kirk Cousins a ton of money, and they still put together a really good roster. They still have a really good roster. Basically, think of it this way. They're getting the younger version, the more mobile version, and also the cheaper version of Kirk Cousins. If they can win with this type of kid on this kind of contract, and don't forget, in the NFC, you don't necessarily need to have a quarterback that can go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes. If you have a quarterback that can win you 10 games and get you into the playoffs, you have a chance to go far in the playoffs. This, to me, is a sneaky pick. It fits like a glove, and it makes all the sense in the world. So now, of course, we get back to the draft. And the New York Giants, who were sitting there with anticipation that J.J. McCarthy could fall with them. I do think the Giants are a team could trade up. Maybe they try to jump up to fourth, the Cardinals. I think the Giants, in the grand scheme of things, are going to try to hold at six. They get to six. Maybe they try to trade back. They don't get an offer. So what I have them doing at six is taking Malik Nabers out of LSU. They get the number two weapon in this draft, a clear number one receiver, a big play threat that they don't have. And look, this offense, no matter who the quarterback is, they need firepower. The Giants lost their best weapon in Saquon Barkley to free agency. This passing attack needs a home run hitter. This is an incredible class to get a truly talented number one receiver. The Giants do that. They get a star power player in the sixth overall pick. And while they might be frustrated, I could also see them. Don't forget, they have a second round pick early. Maybe they try to get back in late first round for a quarterback. Maybe they try to get creative on day two. But unfortunately, the way the board falls, the Giants lose out. So that means the Titans are up next, and I have them going with Joe Alt. Look, if Joe Alt's there at seven, I can see Joe Alt going as high as four, to be honest with you. I could see the Cardinals maybe surprising people because they don't have a left tackle right now. But Joe Alt, to me, this is another pick. They want Will Levis to work as the quarterback. He's the safest left tackle pick. He's a plug-and-play left tackle from day one. You imagine he's going to be a 10-year starter. They're going to try and make it work with Will Levis. They're not going to go quarterback. They're trying to rebuild that offensive line. A safe and solid pick that just makes sense. Now, Atlanta is up next at number eight, and I do think Atlanta is a team to really keep an eye on. Is there a team that sees the Bears might want someone at nine? Romo Dunze is still on the board. You have Brock Bowers still on the board. There are teams that might look to come up, but I think the Falcons want to get better at the pass rush. And an ideal situation is the Jets, because the Jets can trade maybe a fourth round and a future pick next year to drop two spots. Maybe the Falcons are open to that. If they have two edge rushers that they love, they're going to get one with extra picks if they move down two spots. But on this situation, I'm going to say they stand pat. They're going to take the best one on their board. They're going to stand pat and add to their pass rush, and they're going to take, out of Alabama, Dallas Turner. Look, I don't think there's a huge difference between Jared Verse and Dallas Turner, but if there is a gap, I don't think the Falcons will trade back. But if they're dead even, don't be surprised. You see the Falcons trading back, and keep an eye on the Jets coming up from 10 to 8. Now, it's getting a little murky this part on the board. Some players are still out there who could trade up. Now, the Bears, another interesting team sitting at 9. Don't forget, they have some of the fewest draft picks in this entire draft. Yes, they have two top 10 picks, but they have 6 total picks in this entire draft. So this would be a good chance. Maybe they stockpile. Maybe they trade down. I think they're looking to do that. And maybe a team wants to jump the Jets. Maybe a team wants to get Romo Dunze or Brock Bowers. But in this situation, I don't think they get quite the offer that they want. So what I have them going with is instead the next best option. They go with Jared Verse, another great pass rusher. Someone the team would sweat on the other side. So now Chicago, a team that, don't forget, loves their defense, loves their pass rush, and is in a division now where you have Jared Goff and a good offensive line in Detroit. You have Jordan Love and a decent offensive line with Green Bay. You're going to have Minnesota with a new quarterback and also Justin Jefferson. You need to get after the quarterback in this division, and I think they started to do that, but they add another piece. And I also think they're trying to follow that model of the Texans. Look what the Texans did. They drafted a great edge rusher, and they got a great quarterback, a difference maker on each side of the ball. The Bears, I think, try to replicate that a little bit differently, but overall, they get their guy. They get a dynamic pass rusher here that's going to help this defense. And wait a minute, the Jets are on the clock, but they trade back. I have them dropping two spots to the Denver Broncos, and here's why. The Broncos, look who's picking at 11. It's the Chargers. I think the Broncos are hoping to wait to 12 to take a quarterback. But the problem is the Chargers are in their division. The Chargers know maybe there's a guy they really want. And maybe just to help themselves, they might trade back just to make sure the Broncos don't get the quarterback they want. However, the Jets just want a couple picks to drop back. They want one of the Broncos' 2 third-round picks. They're going to get in this exchange picks 12, pick 76, and a fifth-round pick. Key point, the Jets don't have a fifth-round pick. And while I do think the Jets would love to get a second, just to drop two spots, they're not going to get that rich of a price. And here's the reason they dropped two spots. Either way, they're getting a great playmaker if they don't get the offensive line. Because Brock Bowers and Romo Dunze are both still on the board. You know the Broncos are going quarterback. And with that, with the 10th overall pick, I have them selecting Michael Penix Jr. And here's the biggest reason I think the Broncos have to do this. Next year's quarterback class isn't great. You have to compete in this division. And also, with the Russell Wilson contract, it is going to be burdensome to get players in here. Yes, the majority of the dead cap is this year, but they're still going to have ramifications next year. You need a quarterback. And in that division with Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert, you need someone. Now, Bo Nix is someone that could also be on the radar here, but I just feel that Michael Penix, to me, is a guy Sean Payton would love. Highly accurate, good athleticism, pinpoint accuracy, and can throw a great ball. Has a lot of attributes similar to a quarterback he used to coach, you know, Drew Brees. I think there's a lot of similarities there. They want to make sure they get their quarterback. And I also think this has to be a PR move because for the Broncos, you cannot sell hope to a fan base with that quarterback room in that division. Yes, it's still an uphill battle, but at least this gives them some hope. So that means pick 11 is the Chargers. Do they trade back? Nope. I have them getting some beef on the offensive line. They get Talese Fuanga, Oregon State tackle. Look, they get a plug-and-play right tackle with a nasty streak that's going to come in and be a road grader. Because here's the thing. We know Harbaugh. He loves O-line. He loves great O-line play. And he wants a smash-mouth offensive line that's going to be physical, push the defense back, and open up the running game. Yes, I know Romo Dunze's there. But there is a lot of great receivers deep in this draft. And keep in mind, Harbaugh also knows a lot of these great prospects. I wouldn't be surprised if Roman Wilson's a target for the Chargers later on in this draft. But for now, they get arguably the most plug-and-play right tackle in the entire draft, will come in and be a statement on that offensive line and gets incredibly physical, which means at pick number 12, the New York Jets luck out. They get Romo Dunze, the wide receiver, out of Washington. I personally think the Jets should lean more offensive line, but from the smoke you've been hearing, I think they're going to look at a playmaker and try to get developmental offensive line on day two. I'm not necessarily in love with that strategy, but either way, they get a dynamic receiver, a receiver that's going to come in and allow Mike Williams to not rush back from the ACL. And when he is healthy, you think about that receiving core with Garrett Wilson, Romo Dunze, Mike Williams, and then just to add for measure, you have Alan Lazard as your fourth. You have Xavier Gibson. That is a talented receiving group, and that's not even including Breece Hall in the backfield. That is a lot of fun weapons for Aaron Rodgers to play with. Number 13, the Raiders are on the clock. Could the Raiders stretch for quarterback? I don't think they do so yet, but I think they go in an interesting direction. After losing Darren Waller the year before, I think they go and get Brock Bowers. And look, this is incredible value for the Raiders. I mean, we're talking about someone that many people consider a top five player in this entire draft, a dynamic playmaker. And I also think that it'll be a good pick for the Raiders for a lot of reasons. They want to be able to throw the ball. They want to have a dynamic offense. And in Vegas, It's a show. You need to put up points if you're the Raiders to be interesting. And another underlying scenario is this. I do think that that Raider team in the long term is going to try to move off of Davante Adams and get a haul back because it is a short window that isn't working. I just have this feeling that the Raiders are going to get a quarterback at some point in this draft, but they want to hedge themselves. So if they get Bowers and they have to trade Davante Adams at some point in the next year or two, it's not going to kill them, but they get a dynamic offensive player that's instantly going to come in and make them better. Pick number 14, the Saints improve the offensive line. Olufoshinu, a guy who I absolutely love. I think he's going to be a great left tackle. Saints need left tackle help. You have a good pass rushing division. You have to protect their quarterback, and I think that this is a great pick to do it. Do I think the Saints look to maybe look at quarterback down the road in later rounds potentially? But they need Derek Carr to be healthy. You bring in Fashanu, you improve the offensive line, and that will be a great plug-and-play player on day one. The Colts at 15 could go a lot of different directions, I feel, but I have them going with the best defensive back in the draft with Terron Arnold, the cornerback from Alabama. Look, the Texans are the best team in that division. They're going to have a ton of weapons in the sandbox. The Titans have a ton of weapons. You need a good pass defender. I think that the offense has enough weaponry. The defense needs a little bit more love. Look, I think the front seven for the Colts is vastly underrated, but they need help on the back end, and getting a guy like this will be an incredible help to improve that defense. Number 16. Well, the good news is for the Seahawks, they don't have to look far. I have them going with Troy Fatanu out of Washington. He's one of my favorite prospects. I think he's a top 10 player in this draft. Love the versatility. The Seahawks offensive line struggled at times last year. We all know that they love to have great offensive line play. You get someone that's going to be an instant day one starter, either at guard or tackle, someone that fits that fan base incredibly well. And also would be nice to have someone from Washington on the team. I think there's just way too many things that make way too much sense here, but it improves the offensive line. I don't think there's a quarterback that they love at this point. I think they're still going to roll with the quarterback situation. But when you have all those great weapons, you need to have a great foundation on the offensive line, and Fatanu certainly will help that. Now, wait a minute. The phones are ringing. We have a trade. The Jaguars were the 17th pick in this draft, but desperation has yielded some interesting results as the Jaguars are trading back with the Buffalo Bills. I have the Bills giving up pick 28. Their fourth rounder this year, which is 133. Their fifth rounder this year and next year's second round pick. And yes, it is a lot, but in order to go up all the way from 28, they're going to have to really sweeten this for Jacksonville, because I think Jacksonville also could take this player, and maybe the Seahawks would have to do this offer at 16. But I have the Buffalo Bills addressing the wide receiver room. Yes, I have them going with Brian Thomas Jr., the dynamic receiver LSU. Look, they need a number one receiver in the worst way. Yes, the Bills have a ton of holes on that team in this draft, but the biggest thing they need is a playmaker for Josh Allen. That offense is severely lacking, and they're a team that needs the home run ball, and you need to have someone that's going to stretch out that defense. You're in a division now that has some high-powered offenses, and you're probably have to get into some scoring games. So you have to address the wide receiver position. It is a lot. I get it. But when you look at arguably someone that could have cracked that top three of the great receivers, you don't want to wait till 28. I think there could be a run on receivers that the Bills are terrified about. Go up and get your guy. Pick number 18 is the Bengals. I have the Bengals staying at 18. And drafting J.C. Latham out of Alabama. They need help at the left tackle position to protect Joe Burrow. I think this is an obvious fit, someone that's got experience and can plug and play. Now, the next one is a bit of a swing. The Rams are always a hard team to read in this draft. I wouldn't be surprised if they trade out of 19. They've done well without first-round picks. But I'm staying at 19, taking Amarius Mims, another team that I think needs a left tackle. Mims, I think, could be a great long-term project. Rams a little bit lower expectations this year. I wouldn't be surprised to go defense, especially interior defensive tackle. But Sean McVay is an offensive guy. I think they'll lean offense early, get some more protection for Matthew Stafford and potentially the future quarterbacks coming in, because I do think that they are looking a little bit more to the future than the present. But they get a guy with a lot of potential at number 19. I think we're going to see a run on offensive linemen right now as the train continues as we go to pick number 20. And I have the Steelers taking Jaxon Powers-Johnson out of Oregon. Love this kid. Think he's a great anchor. Steelers need help, especially on the interior. He can play guard. He can play center. I think he's a long-term center in this league. Improves the Steelers' offensive line. When the Steelers are good, they have a good offensive line. I believe they're going to continue to build on that. The next, I have the Dolphins at 21. They could go a plethora of ways, but the biggest thing is they need to protect their quarterback. Tyler Guyton is a bit raw coming out of Oklahoma, but the potential is off the charts. They need to figure out the offensive line. Again, they were lucky last year. They had a bunch of injuries, but still Tua main through the season. But just with the concussion history with Tua, you need to enforce that offensive line. Yes, the defense needs help as well, but the biggest thing is protect Tua. I think Guyton, asking him to start, there's going to be some warts early, but he's someone that I think has the potential to be a really good long-term tackle in this league. Well, we're staying on the lines, but we're going to the defensive side. Now, I can see the Eagles also going on the interior offensive line here as well, but I'm going to have them go a little bit different, replacing another legend, Fletcher Cox, this time on the defensive side of the ball with Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle out of Texas, Brian Murphy the second. He is ferocious on the mill, provides a great pass rush. And look, the Eagles have done a good job addressing the perimeter. They've added Bryce Huff on the edge. They need to improve the interior of this defense. This defense thrives off the front four, off that pressure. They bring in someone that they can groom into that interior defensive lineman, someone that can get out the quarterback. This, to me, is one of those picks that just makes too much sense. And when you value the trenches as much as the Eagles does, I just think that this is a perfect match. Now, the Chargers are back on the clock. They have their 23rd pick. Now, I will not be shocked if they take a receiver here. I will not be shocked if they take another offensive lineman here. But I do think you have to keep an eye on the defense. Another position that they love is corners, especially in the Harbaugh system. And Quinion Mitchell out of Toledo, great athlete, hyper-athletic kid. I think he's got a lot of potential at the cornerback position. The second corner on my board, this is great value for him at 23. Probably a top 20 player in the entire draft. Makes a lot of sense. Chargers thin at that position. And look, when you look in that division, it's a track meet when you have to play the Raiders two times a year with Devontae Adams, with the Chiefs, obviously, you know, and it's just, you look at the Broncos have a bunch of weapons. Like, the AFC's become a track meet. You need guys that can cover some of these great receivers to compete in this draft. So next I have the Cowboys at 24. I could see the Cowboys trading out of 24 because they need picks, but I have them going with the offensive line with Graham Barton from Duke. I think that he can be their starting center, but he can also play the interior. They need help on that offensive line. It looks like they're going to kick out one of the guards to tackle for the short term. Now, they could go left tackle here, but with such a run on tackles before him, I don't think they're going to stretch here. But they can take Graham Barton, who's a day one starter. It's a plug-and-play player, either at guard or center, to help rebuild this offensive line that has taken hits in the recent years. Next, I have the Packers. The Packers, another team I could see easily going offensive line at 25, but I think they improve their defense. They're struggling in the corners. They get Nate Wiggins, dynamic ball hawk from Clemson, comes in as an instant starter right away for this team. Now, I also could see them going pass rush. There's a bunch of different positions they could go here, especially once you get into the late 20s. You could see a lot of these teams going a lot of different ways, but with the lack of offensive linemen really here, I think some of these teams are not going to stretch here. They might try to trade up later in round two to get some more of these projects, but they're getting a first-round talent at corner, and especially in a division where there's receivers everywhere, you need great corners. Now I have the Buccaneers at 26, and I have them going to the edge from UCLA. I have them, Laiatu Latu, the edge from UCLA, a dynamic player. They've really struggled to find that replacement for Shaquille Barrett. Mike Evans coming back is huge. I think this offense is still in a good place. This defense could use another step. And look, The Bucs are a sneaky good team, but in order if they want to continue to compete, they have to improve their pass rush. Derek Carr is hopefully healthy for the Saints this year. The Panthers can maybe take a step forward this year with the second-year quarterback. I expect the South to be better next year, and in order to be better, the Bucs have to be better, and they have to improve their pass rush, and they get a really dynamic player, the third edge on my board, coming here at 26, getting incredible value. But not to be outdone, the Cardinals at 27 saying, you know what? We want to get on this edge game too. So at 27, I have the Cardinals going with Chop Robinson, the edge out of Penn State. Insane athlete, hyper kid, can come off, play multiple positions, can stand up, can come at you with the five technique, can play all over the field. This is a dynamic chess piece. And look, you've already added a dynamic piece on the offensive side. Now you get that defense. And again, this defense needs some work. So you're investing on both sides of the ball. And with a lot of picks, especially in the middle rounds, I think you could see them playing around the offensive line in those rounds, maybe adding another weapon or two on each side of the ball. But this is a good pick here for the Cardinals. Now, the Jags, who traded back there at the Bills pick at 28, they could go receiver here, but I think they hold off. I actually have them going in a little bit of a different direction. I have them going with the offensive line. Now, this might be a stretch with Jordan Morgan, the offensive lineman from Arizona, but here's the thing. They need to protect Trevor Lawrence. Their two tackles are both on short-term contracts. To me, this is a player that you can groom to be a future starting tackle, but day one can come and be a starting guard, improve this offensive line. And when, look, Travis Etienne is your most dynamic player. If you can improve this offensive line in front of him to allow him to be an even better running back, to me, it's just a great sell. You kill two birds with one stone. You keep Trevor Lawrence upright. You give Etienne more running space. This, to me, makes too much sense. And look, they've gotten a bunch of picks back. If there's a receiver they really like in round two, now they have the ammo to go get him. They have the ability now to fill out some of the holes on this roster with the picks from the Bills trade. So I think that this works out incredibly well for them. The Lions at 29, of course, I have them going with more of a Dan Campbell guy. And look, when you look at Dan Campbell guys, you think of rugged dudes. And Jerzon Newton, the defensive tackle, he is an interior run stuffer, but he's got a great push on the interior. And they have the edge rushers in this defense. This is a team and a program and a franchise that has been built in the trenches. They did on the offensive line. I still think they are going to add more offensive linemen in this draft. But here, they have the edges covered on that defense. You now get a tear in the interior, helps Aiden Hutchinson on that outside. And all of a sudden, that defense that was really up and coming last year looks even more ferocious and adds more horsepower to that Lions unit. We are now at the 30th pick in the draft, only three remaining, and it's going to get quiet right now. I mean, the 30th pick, historically, when the Ravens have had picks late in the first round, they don't usually trade out for a quarterback. Oh, wait a minute. The Ravens are going to add more draft capital to their room as they will make a trade. The Ravens will make a trade with the Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders trade pick 44, 77, a third rounder, and pick 208 to come up to select with the 30th pick, Bo Nix, the quarterback out of Oregon. And here's why. Yes, it is a bit rich to go up, but here's the thing. Raiders need a quarterback, and I do think Nix is a better quarterback long-term than the one that they have. I think that in that city, you're going to need someone that can hopefully compete with the two great quarterbacks in that division. And yes, it's a big swing here for the Raiders. But the Raiders are a team that needs to take a swing here. Because when you look after Bo Nix, there is a significant drop-off in these quarterbacks. Could you look at Spencer Rattler? Maybe. But really, Bo Nix is one of the last guys in this draft that you feel could be a potential legitimate starter in this league, and even maybe a starter by the end of next season. Yes, I know he's older, but he's a dynamic athlete. I think it's a situation where he can sit and learn, and he's someone that I think will fit in very well with all those weapons there. It's a big swing, but when you look ahead at next year, and I know I keep saying this, the quarterback class doesn't look great, and every year we seemingly find other quarterbacks, but projecting doesn't look like a great class. You want to get ahead of it. And I think the Raiders are going to be a team that maybe is not competing necessarily with the Chiefs and the Chargers, but I see them being a team that could compete for a final wild card spot in a really competitive AFC. So they're not going to be close to the top again. This is an opportunity to take a swing. And the biggest reason you do it now, that fifth year option. If you hit on Knicks, you get a fifth year option, which is another year where you don't have to give him the bag for a quarterback. To me, just to ensure that third year option is just too much here. And the Raiders get spicy here at the end of the first round and trade back up. Pick number 31, the San Francisco 49ers go defense. I have them going with arguably the best name in the draft, Cool A. McKentry from Alabama. Look, tall, lanky kid, can play on the outside. 49ers have a lot of holes, but their defensive secondary could use some upgrades. This, to me, is a great pick. Helps them address one of their few areas of need. And finally, the Chiefs are on the clock at pick 32. And who do I have in the gang? Well, they've been missing a certain guy. Well, maybe not missing because they're still winning Super Bowls, but it does feel like they're missing a little bit of something. They need some cheetah power. They need some speed. And who better to do that than Mr. 4.21? I'm talking about Xavier Worthy, the Texas wide receiver that, of course, set the 40-yard dash record at the combine at 4.21. He is a dynamic player that when the ball's in his hand, he can leave people in the dust. And yes, I know that the Chiefs don't necessarily need a receiver, but with the whole Rice situation with legal issues, and you look at the potential upside of this kid, and you give him to an Andy Reid play caller, and you give him to a guy with an arm like Patrick Mahomes, like this just seems like if Kansas City was trying to create the next kind of Tyreek Hill player they were looking for, like this is the guy that would be spit out. And to me, it just makes all the sense in the world. So that is it. That is my official 2024 NFL mock draft. A lot of fun here. Those are the scenarios I can see happen. Of course, I try to break down all of the different scenarios in this draft because there will be a lot. And I will be giving my reactions, of course, after the draft. The winners, the losers, we will have a lot to talk about. The best trades, the worst trades, all that will be in the work. And of course, we don't want you to miss any of that. So give us a like, give us a subscribe so you don't miss any of the latest here on Rich Sports Talk. If you're new to the channel, go check out our community page to check out our latest polls. And if you're new to the channel and you want to give your feedback, please put it in the comments below. I would love to hear your thoughts on what you think of my thoughts on your team. Do you agree with who I think your team's going to draft? Do you disagree? Is there a player I'm overlooking? Is there a trade scenario realistically that you can see happening on draft night? But that's going to do for this episode of Rich Sports Talk. Thank you so much for joining us here as we wait for arguably one of the best nights of the sports year. And I cannot wait to share it with you here on Rich Sports Talk as the 2024 NFL Draft is finally here.